Every so often, you look at the standings across the BASS and FLW trails, and you see these guys that are number one, you know, angler of the year, those kind of things. But to be the Bass Fan number one ranked angler on the State Farm World Rankings, it takes some doing. Kevin Van Dam had it for about 3 years, and now it's kind of jumping around a little bit. But lately, a guy's held it for quite some time, and that's Marty Stone. And Marty, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Terry. It's my privilege.
Well, you know, being ranked number one, you've got a target on your back, but you've worked very, very hard to get that target, and last couple of years have been pretty good.
It really has. You know, it's been neat. It's a fun little thing to have out there right now with the ranking system. Absolutely got a target, but it's been neat to watch everything have a progression with what I'm trying to do. You know, I always go out there not worried about the other guys. I'm worried about going out there and doing my job and becoming better every day and every week as an angler. At some time, you have a hard time quantifying or putting a number. Have I improved 20%? Have I improved 40%? With this ranking system we've got now, you can watch your progression come up through here, and I can see the results of some hard work.
Well, you most definitely have had the hard work. This year got second in the Angler of the Year race and right down to the wire last tournament, and Aaron Martins ended up winning that. But you went out with a bang, just fell one place out of being able to really go at him head-to-head and kind of had to wait for that tournament to transpire.
Yeah, it was fun. It really was. And I tell people, there's a lot of things. I've had a lot of mixed emotions with the Angler of the Year deal. Obviously, it's probably, if you told me, Marty, you can pick one title of all titles in bass fishing you can leave with, that would be the one I want. But the good thing was we were in contention for a lot of the years. Myself, my sponsors, we've got a lot of exposure this year. Terry also had something happen this year that it took me a while to realize. I don't think I knew how to win it this year. I know how now. It might not be next year. It might not be the year after. But if I get in that position again, I really truly believe I know how to win that award. And that's going to be one I'm going to really look forward to compete for again.
Well, you look at this thing, you know, it, as time passes, you know, winning the Angler of the Year, of course, the anglers think that's the top of the list. You know, Bassmaster Classic has its day, and so does the FLW Championship. But the Angler of the Year, whether you're in FLW or BASS, that means you were consistent for the entire year.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's not a one-shot deal. And here's the way I put it. It's just pure and simple in my mind. You look at BASS Angler of the Year on that list. It's either legends or soon-to-be legends, period. There's no fluke. There's no hadn't heard from them since. They're either legends or soon-to-be legends. I'd love to be a part of that list.
Boy, I tell you, you talk about it, you're right. You know, you look back over the years and what the great, great anglers that are on that. You know, one comes to mind for me, Roland Martin, who's had 9 Angler of the Year championships. You think about that, that's pretty amazing in itself.
The one that impresses me even more than that is Kevin having 3 in the modern-day history. You know, what Roland did was pretty awesome, but Caliber Fisherman back then, that's a whole greatest angler debate with your own. But like Kevin, I mean, he's had 3 in modern-day history, and the thing that really amazes him, out of his 15-year career, he's only been lower than 8th one time in Angler of the Year. This is the first time in my 8-year career I've cracked the top 10.
I know. You think about it, in the caliber of athlete that we have out there now, the caliber of angler, man, oh, man, everybody knows how to fish because you got the internet, you got magazine, you got, you know, on-the-water experience, and you can learn from other people so easily. Man, these guys are getting better all the time.
It's scary how good the competition. I mean, every year, Gerald and myself, we sit around, we talk about it. We talk about fishing, how to, trying to improve. It's one of two things going on, Terry, and I think that was a big reason of my turnaround. You're either getting better or you're getting left behind, and you got to choose a side, and you've got a lot to do with which side you choose. If you don't spend the time on the water, if you don't have the preparation it takes at these tournaments, I promise you, you won't get any better. If you do all the things, spend time on the water when you're away from tournaments, constantly evaluating your tackle, add new things, delete old things, constantly improve as an angler, then you can keep up with today's competition. But it's an ongoing 365-day-a-year process.
Well, I remember about 3 or 4 years ago, you and I sitting down and talking, doing one of these interviews, and you talked about, you know, the things to be successful, and you put those into practice in the last 2 years, and it's paying big dividends for you.
I really have. I absolutely having the best time of my life in my career right now. Sponsor-wise, everything's really secure, going great. Fishing-wise, I like where I'm at, but I'm not content. I'm wanting to get better, and now I'm starting to understand what I have to do as an angler. Hopefully, it's a maturity process that I finally went through. I know the kind of preparation and time on the water it takes to make me a better angler, and I'm really starting to enjoy that I've got a grasp You know, and I'm not going to say I'm going to be a top at angler of the year standings every year, but I really know that, hey, if I do this and I put in this kind of effort and I focus some energy here, then I can continually get better, and that's all I can ever ask for.
Well, you mentioned Gerald a minute ago. You know, Sidgo, of course, is one of his sponsors as well as Lucky Craft, and now this year you made a shot at it with Sidgo and also Lucky Craft as common sponsors there. You got to be pretty happy with the way that's turned out.
Yeah, that was a pretty neat deal for those two companies, and Mercury as well. We share that common bond as well, and last year, yeah, he took the whole deal, and this year I was second. But still, I mean, 1 and 2, back-to-back like that, that was a pretty neat deal. It really was. And it sort of surprised me. It really did. This year sort of just happened. And it sort of got steady, stayed steady. But the thing I was really tickled about was the amount of exposure that it got from my sponsors. That was a good deal.
Well, I tell you, do you pick up any magazine or anything on the internet or anything else, Marty Stone's picture's there. And I even looked at some Rugged Shark shoes the other day, and there you are again.
Again, you know, that's the name of the game. You're getting exposure for these folks, and I had the kind of year. Now, I've been on the other side of this thing, Terry. I've been where I couldn't even buy a magazine ad. So you enjoy it when it happens, and you remember what it feels like when it happens, and that way when you're going through some tough times, you know what it takes to get back to this point, because you know, everyone likes to hang around someone successful, and this year I had a successful year. I consider it an awesome deal, and I tell people, don't feel sorry for me because of second place. William, put it in perspective a little bit more, Terry. 4 years ago, I think second place in Angler of the Year was a pat on the back and a that a boy. Now, because of Sitco's involvement, Angler of the Year race, I'm going to pick up an additional check for $30,000. That's not bad for second place.
Not bad at all. I'm going to shift gears with you a little bit. You know, there's a lot of controversy, a lot of discussion regarding the BASS changes. Can you kind of give me your perspective on that?
You know, Terry, mixed emotions. I'm really excited. Let me tell you what I'm excited about. I'm excited about the 11 tournaments next year. I'm excited about the three majors and all the live TV coverage we're going to have around that. I'm always excited about the Classic. The change in the date, that's not going to be a big deal. It's going to be a phenomenal event. Classic always is. I'm excited about Loudmouth, about Bass Center, about Bass Tech, about all the tournament coverage and fishing coverage we have on Saturday morning. I am really fired up about that. A lot of great opportunities out there. My concern, the one concern I have, and I think it shares all the way across the board, is there's been a lot of great things happening, but I don't see our payout being adjusted, in my opinion, the way it is. And another thing, too, I think we need to educate the general public a little bit more. There's 25 or 30 of us out there, myself included, very fortunate, very blessed, making a great living at this thing. So usually, regardless of what they do to payout, we're going to be fine. But the thing I'm concerned is, if there's not some adjustments made, the other 170 anglers out there, you know, they don't all get free boats. They don't all get their entry fees paid for. They incur a ton of expenses out of pocket. And if we don't adjust this payout, we're going to have a tour where there's no way these guys can be successful. And we're going to lose some really great anglers.
Well, you look at that payout schedule, and I know there's been some work, I think, in the background that they're going to make some adjustments. I'm sure Bass is, you know, flexible enough they're going to do that. But if they do that, you got to think about those other 170, as you mentioned.
Terry, that's the lifeblood. I mean, I've been there. I know what it's like to work two jobs and my wife to work a job and to do everything we can to make ends meet. And then every check you get, you just cherish it because that's the difference between going to the next tournament or not. Terry, I remember two times in my career when my wife looked at me on the way out the door and hugged my neck and said, "You might want to catch them this week." That's a pretty tough feeling. It really is. That's pressure you'll never forget in your life. And all anglers are going to go through that as you're coming up through there, but I want us to at least have a formula in place. If these guys are doing their job and they're competing at a high level, that they have an opportunity to make a living. And I don't mean just break even. I mean truly to be able to make a living. If we're a professional sport, we should be able to make professional money. You know, a lot of people also don't realize this about us, Terry. You know, next year with the way they proposed it, it cost me $4,000 to go to work every week, $3,000 in entry fee, and $1,000 expenses. How many people do you know in this country that they have to pay $4,000 to go to work every week?
Well, the total amount is, I think, $4.3 million or thereabouts. We're figuring that up in entry fees alone. So there's a lot of money coming from the anglers. Marty, as usual, you know, the time goes by so quickly. I appreciate you being with me here at Bass Fan Radio. One final thing. You didn't mention the great angler debate, man. I wondered where that was going to fall in.
Man, I got to be a part of that, and I had a big, big time. Some of the guys probably won't be sending me Christmas cards. I want to clarify something very, very quick. I don't belong on that list, and I know it, but my argument was some of those other guys didn't either. But you know what? It's done exactly what we set out to do. It's a debate. I had my picks. I had my opinion. I think I could argue for this particular individual, but it's been fun. It really has been a lot of fun.
Well, I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Radio.